Welcome to Rein It In. I'm Rachel.
And this is Matt. This is a podcast about, normally about, travel, food, culture, and various other things. But since we're all locked up in our houses during this COVID outbreak, we're instead going to be having this episode and the next about board games.
Yeah. So people have been doing a lot of things in their houses while cooped up. I've seen so many people baking really fabulous things. I've seen people sewing lots of things. People have been cleaning their houses. A lot of people have been doing very productive stuff. What we have been doing is playing a lot of board games.
Yeah, I've done some failed bread, but
no,
I wouldn't say failed.
You've done some successful bread, and you've made kombucha. I mean, you know, it's not like we do this 24/7. But today we want to talk about some of the games that we've been playing. We've been playing enough games that we're actually going to split this up into two episodes. Today's episode is about competitive games and competitive games that are physical. So we're going to do a separate episode about cooperative games and iPad games, but that'll be coming to you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, perfect. And then if you'd like to follow us on Instagram, which our Instagram feed is pretty much turned into a food blog, it seems like, with the occasional...
We have been cooking a lot.
With the occasional board game photos and kombucha status updates. But we've got that going on. And you can follow us on Instagram at reinitin_podcast. And you can follow us on Facebook at reinitinpodcast. And let us know if you're listening. Let us know what games you're playing. We'd love to hear about it.
So we're going to start with a little bit of a discussion of some games that I was thinking of as kind of, they're low effort in terms of, they're really easy to find, they're low effort in terms of the rules to learn are super simple, and these are like classic games that you may already know how to play. So it's a couple word games, a couple card games, and then Yahtzee.
Yeah, and kind of the thought behind it, right, is the first section here is going to be sort of your intro level games, right? Things many of us have probably already played, maybe forgot about. This might be a good reminder of something you could break out that's been in the basement or something like that. The what's I going to say on that? I don't know.
I think that's it.
Okay.
So I was going to say a friend recently pointed out to me that Yahtzee is like the easiest game to get your hands on. All you need are 5 dice, which you can buy for like a buck. And then you can print out the Yahtzee sheets online. So you actually don't need to invest hardly any money at all if you want like a really simple Yahtzee game.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you're kind of also fortunate, we've got this nice sort of leather fancy cup that I inherited from my grandfather that he had a few of them when he passed away. And all the grandkids, I think, not all the grandkids, but a couple of grandkids got one. So it's kind of a nice nostalgia to play as well. It's super easy, right? You don't need the fancy cup. Mm-mm. You can just like throw the dice in your pocket and take it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but don't try to throw them in your pocket and then read them because that won't work.
No. You'd need a flashlight probably.
They'd move around. It'd be rife for cheating.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. What I was going to say was like, so we're going to cover a variety of games in this, right? We said this one's going to be more competitive and physical ones. There may very well be iPad versions of these or electronic versions. We haven't played them.
Right.
So that's why we're talking about the physical ones this time. And, you know, plenty of folks I know would think we're sort of like board game nerds, but when it comes down to it, we're ultimately sort of novices, right? We've got a friend who runs a shop that we'll talk about here in a minute as well, and plenty of friends who just have like a whole room full of games. We play plenty of games, but there are plenty more games that we're not covering. We're just covering the ones that we've enjoyed and had fun with.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that for a lot of these, there's also YouTube walkthrough videos online.
Oh, geez, that's
critical
on some.
Show you how to play them if you get tripped up with the rules at all. So that's actually a super handy resource that I didn't know about until just recently.
Yeah. So then, I guess, for a second entry level sort of game, one that probably most people listening to us already probably own is Scrabble, right? Always pretty good and easy. 2-4 player game. Pretty, you know, it can take a long time to play, but, you know.
It can cause some fights.
Oh, yeah.
Set your dictionary early.
Your dictionary. And your rules about referencing the dictionary.
Right, yeah. It's a contentious one. We're not talking about Monopoly because Monopoly fucking sucks.
I don't know. I remember fond memories of forever long games of Monopoly because we don't follow the right rules. Oh, also, we have Laszlo here joining us for today's episode. He's sitting between us.
Yep. On the table.
Yeah,
squeezed
we get him
in around the board games
to talk, but he doesn't meow on command.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, what do you think? Next one?
Another, Quiddler, yeah, another word game. Mm-hmm. Quiddler is nice because unlike Scrabble, it's cards, so you can put it in your pocket and take it with you really easily. Super quick learning curve on it. I mean, you can figure out how to play it in no time at all, mm-hmm. Which is nice. You can play it with, I think it says 1 to 8 people, so that's a good one for, you know, either yourself or a big group. It's pretty flexible.
Yeah, and our deck is still in the original box. I don't know why we didn't just throw a rubber band on it, but they're pretty darn beat up. We've taken them backpacking. We've taken mm-hmm. them car camping. Mm-hmm.
Lots of picnics.
Yeah. So that it's like super easy to travel with. All you basically need is like a few square inches in front of you to put the cards down. Mm-hmm. And that can be even grass, right? So
yeah,
definitely a fun one. We used to play that all the time. I don't think we've played it in 10 years, probably.
Oh, it hasn't been that long.
Okay.
We played since we moved here. I feel like it's been more recent than that, yeah. But it has been a while.
Yeah.
We have all these new ones.
I know. We got so many things that are a little more interesting.
Well, and a bunch of the ones that we're going to talk about next. A, we're going to talk about some that we recently bought, but B, a bunch of the ones that we are talking about have also been gifts, which is super nice of our friends to give us these as gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And to round out sort of the entry-level ones, we're not going to talk about them. We used to play the heck out of them in coffee shops before we'd go to work at Kinko's.
Always played Scrabble before Kinko's work.
Well, but for that, like, a period of time, we also played cribbage all the time.
Yeah,
which we neither of us remember how to play cribbage, but we just, like, general cards are always a good thing to play. Dominoes is a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. So those are all good things you can pick up on the cheap.
Yeah, I mean, especially, yeah, deck of cards, mm-hmm. thing of dice. And we're not going to give you price breakdowns for these other games, but I'm guessing they run somewhere in between $20 and $40.
Oh, the next section?
Set, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. So, yeah, do we have anything else to say on sort of the entry-level ones? Are we good?
No, I think we're going to move on to the slightly more advanced, complicated, fun, whatever, however you want to phrase it.
So we covered the entry-level kind of games, the first part. Tons of fun. I mean, we even just played Scrabble probably 6 months ago or something like that. I mean, we still, or not Scrabble, I'm sorry, Yahtzee. We haven't played Scrabble in a long time. But now we're going to dive into some that are a little more complicated, a little more interesting, generally fall under the category of Euro game, I'd mm-hmm. say.
Or nerd game.
Or nerd game, sure, we can call it that too. And we want to give a particular shout out to Beckett over at Weird Realms. He's got a shop in Cleveland. If you happen to live in Cleveland, when we get out of this quarantine, you should go check them out. Otherwise, you can check them out online. They carry a ton of stuff for Dungeon Crawl Classics, role-playing games, but also tons and tons of board games, collector card stuff. Beckett was awesome. We did a
video
chat with him early on in the quarantine here and got some good recommendations on games we hadn't played before. Some are pretty old, right? Like Blue Moon City, I looked, is from like 2005 or something like that. Yeah, and some of them are newer. And so we're going to go through, we're going to kind of talk about these a little bit more in depth mm-hmm. and kind of more or less give a light review on them. Mm-hmm. So if you want to check out Beckett online, I think it's weirdrealms.com. I should have checked that one out, but he's definitely at weird.realms on Instagram and probably the same on Facebook. He's better at branding than we are.
Good research there, Razika.
I know. I know.
So, but... Weird.realms on Instagram will get you in touch with him, or just Googling Weird Realms Cleveland.
Yeah, for sure.
Cleveland! Ohio!
Yeah, I guess I could say here too, because we're, you know, just talking about random crap. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so much more interesting than we imagined it would be. Like, yeah.
You think it wouldn't be that great, but then you go and it's actually super great. I don't know. We've been there 3 times and I just really enjoyed it all 3 times.
Yeah.
Even the third time that I had the flu.
Right.
That was a little rough. I got 102 fever while wandering around looking at costumes was not my favorite day ever.
Yeah. Oh, the pre-COVID world.
Yeah, exactly.
So, first one up, what do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Nations, the dice game.
Sounds good. Is there a Nations not the dice game?
I'm assuming so, because it's distinguished that way. Yeah. So, and we're going to try to, for the ones that do have multiple versions, we're going to try to clarify which version we're playing.
Right.
A lot of the time, I think the more full versions require at least 3 or 4 players. I think that's why there's some of these ones that have alternate versions.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Nations is a wonderful four-player game. I have not tried to play it on my own. Mm-hmm. Matt and I have played it together so far. And we're going to give you like kind of an overview of what the box says in terms of time to play and players. We are not giving you an overview as to whether or not these are good for kids, because we do not have kids. And, you know, you can find that probably somewhere else on the internet.
Yeah, a little more useful information on that.
Yes. So I'm not giving you the age range on these at all. But Nations says 20 to 40 minutes. And I feel like after you get the handle on it, 20
For two players
seems fair. Yeah. It's a quick game.
Yeah, and this one was, the rules in this one were, I would even say, frustrating.
Yeah, the way that they explained the setup was not very good. Once you get it and you understand it, it's fine. It's totally not a problem. But the first time, it was a little bit frustrating to try to follow the rules.
Well, I'd say, if you get this, I enjoy this one quite a bit. It's mm-hmm. it's got so. Really nice production value, right? So there's these little, there are these cards that aren't great because they're all a little bit bowed. So you have, when you play in front of you, this is hard on a podcast, right? But you have little things that have squares that you put these other little tiles on. And so it's not a board game, it's a dice game, but there's a lot of extra stuff related to it. It's
right,
not
you're
Yahtzee.
Not just rolling dice, yeah.
And so you have a little bit of a board in front of you that represent your dice. And as you progress through the game, there's four rounds, you go from having five dice, you basically buy up your dice, mm-hmm. and you can end up with 10 dice that you're rolling. And what you get with the dice is you roll those, so it's sort of a resource dice game.
Yeah, you roll to get the resources, essentially.
Yeah, and then you can buy different buildings or people, or advisors, they call them, mm-hmm. right? There's sort of like land or colonies or mm-hmm. something that you can control based on gold or weapons, and then you score points against each other as you go. So this is one, and this, I think this is worth saying, most of the games that we talk about, I'm just talking too long here in a row, this is like just like I'm at work, a lot of the games we're talking about, is even though they're competitive games, most of the games we enjoy are games where you're really competing against yourself, and if you play a good solid game, you can win. So there's competition to beat the other person, but we don't play very many games that are aggressive.
Yeah, you're not trying to block the other person from winning. You're just trying to strategize so that you can win.
Yeah.
Which now, I think there's a distinction between the two.
I think there's plenty of these games that you could play more aggressively, and it's just not in our brain. Mm, we like mm-hmm. each other too much, and there's no reason to cause fights when you're locked up in a house together for indefinite.
So true.
So we purposely try to avoid screw maneuvers where you like break someone's ability to play.
Yeah. So that's Nations, basically, right?
Yeah, and you progress through, you buy up your dice, you get more stuff, you gain points. But yeah, I think it's pretty fun. It also, once you do get that initial setup, like persevere through it, because I think it's worth doing. Once you get it, the setup is just like a couple minutes. You just crack out the thing, and you know, when you put it back in the box, you're going to put it back in some sort of sorted order, and it'll be super easy. So, and I'd say, what do we said? It was like 15 minutes? No.
No.
20 minutes?
20 to 40, but I think 20 is fair once you get a handle on it.
Yeah.
It does take up some space, though. Like we said, it's not just dice, so you do need to have like a table where you can spread things out.
Yeah.
So next, other new one that we recently got, we got three. We got Blue Moon City, which, mm-hmm. as Matt said, is older game from 2005. That one is 2 to 4 players, so you can't play that one on your own, unlike Nations. Mm-hmm. I really like it. I think it's fun. It's definitely, you are in some ways trying to get things down before the other person, mm-hmm. because it's a little bit easier to meet the win condition if you do things first. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit more directly competitive than, say, Nations, where you're really just kind of strategizing to do your best.
Yeah, and this one is, it's a built board mm-hmm. game where you lay out the tiles. It's not, anybody who's played Carcassonne where you like draw your tiles as you build, it's not like that. It's more like a Settlers where you set it up initially, but you shuffle certain cards, certain tiles, and then they lay out. So it's a semi-random board that you play on every time. And it is also ultimately kind of a resource game, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's quite fun, which I believe I already said.
Yeah, there's dragons. There's like this weird. There's a. I forget the guy's name. He does a whole bunch of two-player game reviews. Beckett told me about him, and I watched his to find out which ones actually seemed like they played well as two players. He said one of his complaints is he doesn't like the sort of like in-game. I can't even call it story.
I mean, it's so little. I can't even believe you would complain about that. Anyway, if you don't want to read the flavor text, just don't.
No, I know. But the artwork is actually super nice.
The artwork is nice.
The production quality, I think, is good. I keep talking about that because that's really important in games. There's like a lot of games that are just crap. And the tiles are good. The artwork is really interesting. And it's cards. It's dice. There's like pieces you kind of move around. It sounds more complicated than it is. No, there aren't dice.
No,
there's all these little chips to buy.
Yeah, cards and chips.
Yeah. And your ultimate goal is you run around, you can only move a limited amount of spaces, you only get so many cards, you have to use the cards to buy I think you're technically improving the ruined old city.
We're fixing the ruined city.
Yeah. And then based on getting those, you get things, and you're ultimately trying to make, what is it? Like, not sacrifices. No, not sacrifices, but maybe it is.
Human sacrifices.
Yeah, but you have to like trade in a certain amount of resources that you're collecting, gems, to rebuild this
tower.
Yeah, and whoever gets the most number of pieces on the tower first wins. Mm-hmm. So that one has a little bit longer time set up. If you play it a couple times in a row, it's nice and easy.
Yeah, the box says 30 to 50 minutes, and I think that's fairly accurate, more on the 30-minute end once you get the hang of
For two players, yeah. One probably took us 50 minutes,
though. Yeah, for sure. Because the rules are a little bit complicated. It takes up space. You got to have a full table for it, because like Matt said, you lay out the tiles and everything. So it's not a compact game, and the box is quite big. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't set it up on its side in the game cabinet. I have to lay it down flat.
Right. The other one, too, I'd say with Blue Moon City is, like, the rules were set up pretty well, made sense. It takes a little bit of time to just kind of, like, think through it the first couple times. Mm-hmm. But I think once you play, we rarely look back at the rules. Like, because the cards modify the rules, so that sort of makes sense. So there's
a
couple
pretty clear
things you're like, order of play that we need to reference every once in a while, but for the most part it's pretty quick.
Yeah,
but also 2 to 4 players, so you know, good for a family as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would actually be good for kids, probably. It seems pretty straightforward.
Matt's going into the kid reviews.
No, I'm sorry.
We don't know.
Definitely not good for cats.
No. Not for cats.
Nope.
It doesn't stop the cat from trying to join us.
Yep.
Okay. So you want to handle Deep Sea?
Deep Sea Adventures. Now that I'm looking at this, we probably should have done Blue Moon first. Nations, doesn't matter.
Nope.
But Deep Sea Adventures is one. Beckett had this on his website or on a post on Instagram or Facebook that they're just kind of adorable. It's like the size of two decks of cards.
Basically.
The box looks like it's artwork from a Wes Anderson movie.
Totally.
And directions, I actually thought, we played it, I think, right after Nations.
Mm-hmm.
After we did it, while we were reading the instructions, I was like, these instructions are extremely clear.
They are,
and to the point, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of order of play stuff we had to reference a couple times, mm-hmm. but we kicked through it.
Well, it's a fast game, yeah.
Yeah, 2 to 6 players.
Mm-hmm.
It says 30 minutes, but I think once we learned it, with two players, it's 15
less,
maybe.
Yeah.
So
the other thing to note about it, though, while it's a small box, it does actually have a reasonably big footprint that you need to have for it. So you can't put it in a really small space if you want to carry it with you.
Yeah, it's got dice. This one does have dice. It's got little meeples that are special to it that look like little divers. And you have a submarine. Lay out these resource cards, kind of. They're not really resources. Actually, treasure.
Treasure.
Yeah.
Yep.
You lay out these this treasure path that goes underwater. You have to leave from the sub. Wow, what was that?
Sorry.
Rachel just broke the table. The
sorry, folks. That's going to stay in there.
That's interesting. But you can only travel so far based on the dice, and you can only go so deep, and you have to get back to the sub before all the air runs out, and it's competing against each other, but in a real light way, because it's really how stupid you're being. You can do some things to kind of make it more difficult for them to get back to the submarine.
kind of, but yeah. You know, I mean, maybe if we were better at strategizing, we've only played it maybe 4 times, so
yeah. I also liked this one, Rachel. You weren't as sold on it.
I want to play with more people. I feel like it would be more fun with more people. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy it and I'll keep playing it, but of Blue Moon City Nations and Deep Sea Adventure, it's probably my least favorite of the three that okay. we just got.
Yeah,
now, that's not to say it's a bad game.
I'd say the same, and so it does. Even though it's super compact, super great for travel, it does take a little bit of table space. Not a ton, but because yeah. you have to lay out this path, and the path is probably 1.5 feet long.
Yeah, average like two-player coffee shop table would be fine.
Yeah, and you can squiggle back and forth.
Small bar counter would not be fine.
Yeah, that'd be a little harder. But we know we have some friends who said they take this to the bar when they go out. It's real lightweight. I think it would be good to play with other people while you're out doing something, because mm-hmm. you could easily have a conversation and play.
Yeah, that's true. It's not too complicated to right. to not have or to have a conversation while yeah. you're doing it.
And of course, I like little meeples. So
meeples are great. They're meeples with little deep sea diver helmets.
Yeah, but if you were going to take one game traveling to the bar, to the coffee shop, what's that one game you would take?
I would take Castles of Burgundy, the dice game.
Yeah, right.
Which we took all over Japan with us, all over everywhere. I mean, we've carried it with us pretty much everywhere since we started playing it, because it's so compact. It takes up no space. All you need is a little bit of space to roll dice and
yeah.
like space for little 5x7 sheets of paper.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's it.
And we've actually played it so much that we had to buy a second set.
Unfortunately, you can't get just the sheets. You have to buy a whole separate game, which is one of the downsides of it. It's a cheap right. game. But
yeah, and it's just a small pad of paper, and there's plenty of
yeah
sheets of paper. Like,
we've just played it hundreds of times.
Yeah, right. And so it wasn't bad to get a second one. Our dice were getting kind of gross looking, so we just have that. Really, that doesn't matter too much. It's also a resource game ultimately.
Mm-hmm. It is, right? Yeah. And I will say, like, unfortunately, basically everything that we've talked about up to this point is bad if you're colorblind.
Oh, yeah, you got a good point. Nations, I think, would be fine.
Nations would be okay as long as you can... Yeah, because you don't need to know which color the dice are. You kind of do in order to know which ones to pick up.
Oh, shit, you do.
But if you had another person playing with you that wasn't colorblind, you'd be mm-hmm. all right.
But the dice, the different colored dice in Nations are specific to the resources that are on the dice, so it would yeah. be pretty quick. It would take a little bit extra time, but it'd be less irritating, probably.
Yeah, I think Nations of those three would be the easiest to play if you were mm-hmm. colorblind. Actually, Deep Sea Adventure would be fine too, but yeah. Blue Moon City, Castles of Burgundy, like Honshu, the ones that we're talking about going forward, mm-hmm. would be pretty challenging.
Yeah, Jesus, that's right. So, so Castles of Burgundy, the dice game though, what's nice about it, we have this little, this little mesh bag.
It's for camping.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit bigger than a pack of cards. Mm-hmm. And you can put the whole game in there. Mm-hmm. And so we just throw it in a purse or in a backpack, run mm-hmm. around with it. We bought an awesome little pencil sharpener in Japan because it comes with little like golf pencils. The nice thing about... Castles of Burgundy, right? You have these little maps, basically. You're rolling the dice to get colors. And then you use what those colors are to...
Modify your dice rolls.
Modify basically. Your dice rolls and collect the different locations on the map. Because there's numbers and colors and there's rounds. It's pretty quick. I mean, once you get it down, you can get it through it in like 10, 15 minutes.
I would say definitely 15 minutes. It's great for travel. It's the number one game that I would recommend to take with you places.
Right. We bought it for our friends, Brian and Sarah, who, were on the podcast a couple episodes ago from Animal Vegetable Marital. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it speaks to them quite as much as us. We just really dig it.
Yep.
And we actually bought this one in Pittsburgh when we were traveling way back when for a friend get together when you were there for a conference.
Yep. 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years ago. We had it for about a year before we played it.
I know. Yeah. It took us a while to get around to playing it. And then we were just addicted to it.
Yeah. You'll notice this is a theme with us when we talk about the next week's game. Because mm-hmm. Arkham Horror we had for about a year, maybe 6 months.
I think
we're
going to play Labyrinth before the next one that we do too.
Oh, geez. Yeah. We're going to have to.
I don't know if Labyrinth is cooperative or not, but...
No, but man, that's a year and a half old too, right?
It is, because you got it for me for my 40th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, But
all right, Castle Burgundy, dice game.
Jump ahead. Yes.
That's definitely, that gives
and
my
also,
number one. For...
That's a distinction too. There's a Castles of Burgundy that's not the dice game. Mm-hmm. So this review is just about the dice version.
Yeah, we've never played the other one.
No. Again, I think you need more people for it, maybe.
Mm, got it. Makes sense. Oh, you can play this one solo
you can.
As well.
And I have played it solo. And I thought it was pretty.
All right, so wrapping in here, we got next
two more
one
to
is,
talk about.
Yeah, Honshu.
Honshu is also small. It's not as small as Castles Burgundy or Deep Sea Adventure. You do build a board sort of like something like Carcassonne, so it takes up a little bit more space as you get that board built.
Yeah, you build your board with cards, and you each
as
person has their
titles.
Own board.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cards have sort of six squares on them. You can overlap them, so as you build the map and you want to connect certain types of squares,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's like forests and water,
mm-hmm.
and desert city. And city. And then there's also kind of these like resources, but it's mm-hmm. not really a resource game in the same way as a lot of other games.
Yeah, it's more of a map strategy kind of game. I think it's got a lot of... Who goes first, I think, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
There's modified rules for the two-player, and we've only played it two-player.
Oh, right.
So I think it would be very different to play with three or four people in the way that you kind of strategize how you choose cards.
Mm-hmm.
I find it quite difficult. I think I've only won once.
No, the last time we played, you won
Did I win twice?
Yeah. You've won the last two.
Okay.
So after I won, like, seven in a row.
Yeah, maybe more than that. Yeah, Matt just had a streak with it. So,
yeah, because you have to get these when you on the cards of the things you. Part of what you do is you get, spaces that generate a resource,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to also play spaces that let you use that resource, and then get to certain like 3 to 5 points based on
what, 2 to 4, I think. But yeah,
oh yeah, 2 to 4. Based on what it is. So, like, and then there's two phases. You have to, like, my strategy early on is trying to get as many of the resource creation spots
mm-hmm.
and working on water. Water seems really important.
It is, yeah.
And then the second half of the game is trying to make sure that I'm optimizing the places where you use the resource. And you use the, that's all part of just the final scoring,
mm-hmm.
is that. I also add to on this is it's called Honshu, which is the Big Island of Japan.
Mm-hmm. Nice design.
Yeah, it's got a nice design. It has Mount Fuji on it, some cherry blossom trees, but nothing really about it is
particularly Japanese feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a nice mm-hmm. it's a nice travel game.
Yeah.
This was also a gift from a friend, so that's pretty nice.
Thanks. Thanks, friend.
Mm-hmm.
So it says it's 2 to 5 players. You can't play it solo. And it says 30 minutes, and I would say that's a fair assessment. Like, I don't think we've done it in too much less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. It took a bit to learn.
It's kind of challenging to learn, yeah. It's got a learning curve for sure.
Mm-hmm. But, we got one last one.
One last one.
For today's episode. Do you want to mm-hmm. intro this one?
Sure. Because I also got this. I got this for my birthday. So it is called Patchwork. It's a game just for two players, so you can't play it with less or more than two.
Right,
Which I think is relatively rare. Also, you make a quilt.
Uh-huh.
There's no other quilting games that I know of. And yet it is competitive. It's competitive quilting at its finest.
It's maybe competitive quilting at its finest, but that still is not a really highly competitive quilting.
No, you're not trying to defeat the other person, but you're trying to build a more complete quilt than they do.
Yeah, this one has a weird... It's more of a unique setup, because
mm-hmm.
you build a ring
mm-hmm.
of these quilt shapes
mm-hmm.
that have...
Patches.
Yeah, patches of fabric, and... On those patches of fabric, and they're in different
like
Tetris-y
shapes,
sort of
yeah.
shapes, a little more complicated, and then there's some zero to some number of buttons, and
mm-hmm.
then the number of buttons that you have is actually
you buy the patches based on how many buttons they cost.
Right. Yeah, and then you get buttons, so it is also sort of a resource game. The patches themselves, again, pretty nice production quality. They're like good, solid cardboard squares. The colors are nice. The printing is nice. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of, there's this little thing that travels around the circle as, do you roll a die? What do I, why am I not remembering that? Mm-mm. How do you move around the...
You can choose the next three.
Oh, right. Yeah, one of the next three.
Patches. So you can't choose any patch. It's just the next three. When you take a patch, you move your little dude up to that patch, or up to the absence, now the empty space.
Yeah, you move
past. And then
you
can choose the three that are subsequent to it.
So. Yeah, and then you keep collecting those per round, and you need to place them on a square board, mm-hmm. which is your quilt. So you need to make sure you're filling in all the gaps so that you have a good, solid thing. And then you get points based on how few gaps you have mm-hmm. and whether or not you've created it. Whoever creates the specific size thing first, right, mm-hmm. gets some extra points. And then the other one that's kind of weird, the scoring... tile or whatever mm-hmm. scoring board is like a spiral, right?
Yeah.
And you move towards mm-hmm. the middle. It's definitely fun. It's mm-hmm. pretty quick.
It reminds me of like a snail game that I had when I was a kid.
Really?
The spiral board.
Oh,
I don't remember the name of the snail game. If anybody remembers, like, let us know.
Yeah, because I think Patchwork is maybe the least like other games I've played.
Yeah,
it's a little more unique.
It is unique. Yeah.
Also, super, super simple, ultimately. Mm-hmm. It takes some spatial thought. It takes a little bit of planning. And this is another one, too, that you only have three options for the most part. So mm-hmm. you're really kind of playing against yourself with how many,
yeah,
like,
it's got
some
like
randomness going
spatial
on.
Spatial logic and that sort of thing. It says 30 minutes for playtime, and I think also that's pretty accurate.
I want to say for two players. We haven't played this one for a bit. Oh, you're right. You're right. I'd say it's maybe quicker than that, but maybe not.
I think it's about, I mean, maybe 25, but like, I think 30 minutes is fair.
Maybe it just has really good flow, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, that's all of them for today. What other thoughts
do
you have?
So just looking forward to next time. We're going to talk about, like I said, cooperative games, which mm-hmm. we have a few of. And we're going to talk about games that are also tend to be in the zero game category, but that we play partially or exclusively on the iPad and that have pretty good iPad apps.
Yeah, and this really doesn't matter here or there, but we're an Android family, mm-hmm. but we like got an iPad a bunch of years ago and
Matt won it.
Really, we really only use it for recipes and games.
I read books on it too.
Oh, you do read books on it these days. That's right. But there are a bunch of really killer board games that just make things easier. So we'll talk about that more next time.
Yeah, it really simplifies setup if you're playing with the app.
And we're going to talk extensively, I suspect, about Arkham Horror, the card game.
Yeah, probably.
Because Rachel is a little bit addicted to it.
I am a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I've stopped counting, but I think we're maybe up to 14 hours over the last 2 weeks.
Of playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. Like I said. but I mean, fortunately we'll talk about it next week, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, no spoilers, just things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Including pandemic.
Oh yeah. Right.
Apropos, timely.
Maybe it will not be timely. No, we're still gonna be inside in a month.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I know. The, also check us out on Instagram and Facebook. You're gonna get the numbers here, but we're, reinitin_podcast on Instagram. Mm-hmm. If you want to follow my kombucha homebrewing and find out whether or not those bottles have exploded that have the dragon con potions.
Please don't let them explode and damage the tile in the bathroom.
Oh shit. I didn't even think about that. That'll be fine. I'll put them in the bathtub.
Yeah. I think we should do that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everybody.
Uh-huh.
You can check us out at anchor.fm/reinitin. That's spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N, all one word, no spaces, and you can leave us a message there. You can also follow us at Instagram @reinitin_podcast or email us at reinitin@ssdpress.org, also spelled R-E-I-N-I-T-I-N @ssdpress.org. Thanks again to all of our friends and family for all the support and for putting up with us. Have a great day.